This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. T-Mobile.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Coming up at 6:30, we'll get into some of the NBA action from last night, preview tonight's slate. But right now, we continue talking about the NFL draft and what the Commanders did in it with a pick six at, look at the time, at six.
Six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the pick six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level and build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, let's get to it. Our pick six at six, where we give you some of the best sound of, in this case, the weekend. Adam Peters talked on Thursday and Friday, and then Lance Newmark, the assistant GM, talked on Saturday. And so we start with Peters, who was asked after the Trey Amos pick how he's feeling after those first two, and then you'll hear from Newmark about how he felt after day three.
Yeah, you said it. I think... Yeah, if you had asked me this a couple of days ago, if we would have got these two players, one, and it's debatable, and I mean, I'm sure people would disagree with me, but I didn't think Connerly was going to be there when we picked, and I certainly didn't think Amos was going to be there when we picked. So we feel like we got two players that were first round quality. So we're thrilled, I think if the board fell to us.
Which is kind of funny because I think a lot of fans look at the board not falling their way because there was no edges available or none of the edges that they wanted available. But they got players that they had way higher grades on than when they picked in those first two rounds. And it sounds like that's also how Lance Newmark and the staff felt about the day three picks as well.
Very excited about it. You know, it might not be huge volume, but really excited about what was available for us at each pick. And we stayed true to our board and really stayed disciplined. We came into it with the mindset that we could do that, you know, with what we had done in free agency and with what we had done with our roster to get to, you know, the mid-70s numbers-wise and not having glaring holes everywhere. Like, we felt like we could go into this with, hey, this guy is the best player. He makes the most sense. We're not, you know, tied to need. We're not tied to we have to have this. And it's a great feeling going through 3 days with that mindset. And being able to, hey, best player on the board, you know, makes sense. Sometimes it was need and or, you know, perceived need or whatever, but we were able to do what we felt was right every time without really being forced to do something just positionally.
And that's the thing about how they treated the pre-draft, and we talked about that quite a bit, right? That they did enough in free agency that there was no, we have to do this right now. They put a floor underneath them and then said, wherever we can increase our ceiling, we'll increase our ceiling. And I know that some fans disagree with that, especially on the edge, that they have not done enough and maybe they'll still sign another vet. There'll be cuts that come after the draft and throughout the spring. And then obviously there are guys like Za'Darius Smith that are already available right now. But they, if they go to into game one next year with this group of edges, they don't have the worst edge group in the league. They have guys who have started a lot of football games and that are fine. They're not good. They're probably bottom half of the league, but you're not going to have a strength at every position. And, you know, they'll look for opportunities in the trade market and or next off season to continue to build out that room in what will be year three of their build, which is, I think, when we expected them to hit their stride. And again, they did make the NFC Championship game last year.
Number two
in our pick six at six. This was a way that they perhaps could have done more in the draft. Trade back. I don't know that you want to do it if you think as highly as they did of Josh Connerly or certainly of Trey Amos. Those guys are on your board as high as they were, and you're on the clock. You just don't even really answer the phone. You just run to the table and get the card in. But was trading back something that they thought about doing? Here's Adam Peters on Friday.
Yeah, we got some calls, and it's a similar situation where we decided if Amos was there, we were going to stay and pick. And he was there with another player that we would have stayed and picked at. And if those guys were gone, then we would have traded back, which we had some options to do that. But with him being there, we felt it was really easy to.
And that's the thing is, if your whole goal in trading back is to get players the quality of Trey Amos, then why would you trade back? Like, of course, they're lottery tickets, and I think you can always make that argument that just keep trading back, keep trading back, keep trading back. And I know people do that in mock drafts, but eventually you look back and you're like, dang, that guy that we passed on that we had really highly rated, we kind of need him. Like, the hope is to get a starting caliber corner. There's one sitting for you. They need one. And so take Trey Amos. And again, I know, fans don't necessarily feel the same way about Connerly, but that's how they felt about Connerly, and they're pretty good at evaluating guys. And so if that is how they feel about Josh Connerly, they did that. That's why Adam said, again, because that's how they felt on Thursday. And now I also really want to know who the other player is. I need to go look at the early third rounders and see who I think the other player that they would have loved to take at 61. But Amos, need, fit, best player available, like he 3 for 3 at that point. You just run that card in and do what you got to do.
Number three.
All right. Number three in our pick six at six. The Commanders did not, as has been discussed ad nauseum, draft an edge in this class. So why? It's a fair question to ask. Here's Adam Peters on Friday night discussing it.
Yeah, I think it just comes to he was the highest guy on our board. So there was some edge rushers that we liked that got picked. And, the next edge rushers on the board were
I guess, lower than Trey Amos. I don't know. Anthony, you clearly didn't cut that sound because you would never cut off the ends.
No, I cut all of these, actually.
What's happening to the ends?
Maybe it's when it gets put up on your computer, because on my computer they play in full. I don't know.
You
might have a different audition.
I'm not using audition.
Maybe that's why.
Maybe. I don't know why this whatever I'm using is cutting off the end of Adam Peters, but we deserve to hear the whole thing. We also deserve to hear from Lance Newmark. Of course, that was just on Friday, specific to Amos. But here is Newmark on Saturday after the full draft, and still no edges were taken.
Well, I feel like we like what we have in that room. I think we're always looking to add if we can, if the right right opportunity presents itself. I don't think we would have not added it. There was never a situation where we're not going to add that. Every time we got to where we were picking, it just made these players made the most sense for us. We weren't going to address edge at any point. There was never any conversations of that, of that mindset. It was. These players made the most sense for us. And like I said, we like that room and we like what we have there. Certainly not closed to, we have a lot of time between now and the season. So there's other opportunities to potentially add there. But these particular picks, we did what we thought was best for us.
And sometimes it's as simple as that. Take the best player available. We did. Not that one. The guys they took. Jalen Lane was apparently the number one player on their board when the fourth round opened on Saturday. So all of the edges that went before him, I don't know they would have taken any of them over Lane. They clearly like Bill, the running back, Kroski Merritt. And then they also, Cam Medrano is a real intriguing dude. And I haven't said this out loud yet, but I've had this thought a couple times and almost said it in talking about Medrano. And Logan and I guess did touch on this a little bit. He brought it up on Take Command. There are some Fred Warner vibes with Kane Medrano. Now, is he going to be Fred Warner? Probably not. Fred Warner has been one of the best three linebackers of the last decade in the NFL, along with Bobby Wagner and somebody else that I'm leaving room for. Let's say Roquan Smith, especially the way Roquan's developed the last 2 years in Baltimore. Like, okay, the chances that Kane Medrano is going to be that, not very good. But his movement skills and his ability to cover are rare, rare attributes to even have the ability, the physical abilities to do what he might be able to do. So if he can do that, Medrano in the fifth, I mean, man. And also, he might be able to line up on the edge and play some edge himself because he did some of that in college, and he's crazy athletic, and being a crazy athlete at that position has its advantages. Now, as a 220-pound guy, he's not going to do that a ton, but as a blitzer and the ability to come from some different spots or just line up on the edge and win with speed, he might have that in him. So probably worth mentioning that as well for Medrano, who I feel like hasn't been as talked about as some of the other draft picks, the fifth rounder or the sixth rounder, whatever he was, linebacker out of UCLA. More from Newmark and more from Peters when we get back. But first, the latest on the world from the world of women's sports. It's presented to you by Wawa. Chicken how you wanna at Wawa with customizable roasted or crispy chicken sandwiches. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Pick six at six continues now in the back half. The NFL draft is over. So now what for these rookies?
Number four.
You get drafted, then you got to go fit in. You got to get to work, and so do your coaches, trying to figure out what they are going to do with you. This is definitely, on some level, more of a coach's question than an executive question, but you also want to make sure that, you know, the executives had a vision with the coaches for when they draft a player. So how does Trey Amos fit with Mike Sainristil and Marshawn Lattimore? Here is Adam Peters on that from Friday's press conference.
Looks like a lot of really good guys competing, and Jay Jones and all the rest of the guys we have back there. So, you know, that kind of like we said yesterday with Josh, really the same thing. It's just that's who we are. We compete, and it's all about competition in this program.
I think it's going to be interesting because Amos is going to be an outside guy. And then what do you do with Sainristil? Do you continue to cross-train him and say, hey, we don't know how quickly Amos is going to be available, so we need you to play outside because Jonathan Jones is going to play inside, and then Marshawn Lattimore on the other side. That's definitely a question. Or do you just say Sanders still starting inside and we'll live with Jones on the outside until Amos is ready? Or can Amos be ready fairly quickly? Like, we're going to find out, but as Peters was asked on Friday about his adjustment, this is what he had to say.
Yeah, well, he's shown that that's the other thing about kind of a cool thing about college football now. You don't totally love everything, and I don't want to get into a longer conversation about the portal and everything, but it shows you that guys can transition into different programs and be successful. And so he's proven that twice now. And so I have, and I think we all have, so much confidence in our coaches and in our secondary coaches, especially in how they can develop guys and how they can coach guys and how they can connect with our players. So I have a ton of confidence, and I know we all do, that he's going to transition really well here.
So we'll see starting a rookie mini camp next weekend, and then once you get into the offseason program and all everybody's back where Amos starts, my guess is in the spring he's going to start way down the depth chart and have to work his way up because that's how they do things here. I mean, Jaden Daniels started second last year, and he was the second overall pick behind Marcus Mariota. Like, we'll see where this goes, but I think before long Trey Amos will find his way working in with the ones in training camp, and then we'll see ultimately in September where that lands. As for the rest of the rookies, Lance Newmark, do you envision them getting on the field this year? How many of them? What roles? Here's Lance Newmark.
It's really hard to predict that. I think we have hopes that all of them can impact our team this year. The one thing I think we're really confident in is they'll be able to come in here and compete. And I think we told them all that, is that when we draft you and when you come here, you're going to have a chance to compete. And whatever you earn, you earn. But that's the one certainty, is they'll be. But I think we have hopes that they'll all have a role and they'll all compete to have an impact on our team in 2025 and beyond.
2025 and beyond, what he said at the end there. It was actually interesting. I talked with Sidney Johnson, the Mystics head coach, about this yesterday because he's got a very young team, and obviously his team is entering training camp, and Dan Quinn's team is not even starting with the offseason program yet. But I asked him, like, how much of your rotation do you know? And he's like, actually, I feel like I have a pretty good idea. We'll see. There's going to be a lot of competition, but there's certain players that I know I can rely on. And I feel like that's the right approach and exactly how they take it. Terry McLaurin is technically competing. Laremy Tunsil is technically competing. Jaden Daniels technically competing. But, like, we know what their roles are on this team. The whole thing falls apart if they're not available, or you have to scramble or however you want to look at it if, God forbid, they're not available. But they're certainly – or if they're not good, like, that's going to be an issue. Every – you know, Debo, they're certainly going to spend time designing stuff for him, having a vision for him. But there's going to be other guys and especially young players that you just haven't seen compete amongst other NFL peers yet, and you don't know what they can do and can't do in the league. You can have ideas, but the thing about saying those ideas out loud to the media is they're out there. You can't pull them back. And so it's better to just say, we'll see, and it's annoying because I would love to know what they're thinking, as all of you would as well, and then see if it works out. But it's just better for them internally and better for the player, better for the coaches, if they let the experiments happen without talking about them very much. Because then if they fail, we don't make as big of a deal out of them and we don't know that they failed. It's just a thing that we might not even have thought of never happens and we don't know the difference. So I get not wanting to commit to stuff, but I'm sure internally they are hoping, hey, this guy's going to contribute here. But you find that out through competition, and that's the way they roll in that building.
Number five
in our pick six at six. We got two more from Lance Newmark, of course, the Commander's assistant general manager, hosted his press conference on day three of the draft. Kind of did the wrap-up work for Adam Peters. He was asked how free agency factored into how they drafted in the later rounds. Here is what the Commander's assistant general manager had to say on that.
I think the last couple of weeks we've really studied that hard and looked hard at that and had some conversations with some potential ads, you know. So it definitely is something you think about, you know, hey, we might be able to add this player, you know, in May. So you certainly are always watching that board. We watch it every day, and we always circle back to guys and see where they're at, if they, you know, where they're, because sometimes they don't want to do anything right now. And but that's constant. It's on the wall in my office, so I see it every morning when I walk in, you know, and we talk about it on literally a daily basis.
So I think of a guy like Za'Darius Smith. If I'm Za'Darius Smith, I don't know how interested I am in an offseason program at this point in my career. Now, I think if you can get a guy that is interested, great. Or maybe he's not interested in phase one. Maybe he's interested in getting in when they get on the field. Whatever. Or he doesn't want to go somewhere, sign, and then see a guy get drafted and then see, like, oh, great, now I got to compete with some rookie. So he might look at a place like Washington and be like, I can go in and win a job there. I'm in. Wants to see what happens. Maybe he wants to wait till training camp. That would kind of suck because they do a lot of team building and stuff now, but that's also the NFL. Sometimes you have to make sacrifices for talent, and if the talent has the leverage, then you're at their mercy to the extent that you want to be. If you can also say, like, hey, man, that's not how we do business here. You either come in now or we're not interested, then he's got to make a decision. So you can play that game, but it is something that as you look at undrafted free agents and as you look at the free agents, veterans that are still available, could sway a seventh round pick one way or the other. Maybe they like the running back free agent market less, and that's why they go with Kroski Merritt there in the seventh round versus someone else that they potentially could have taken, a Fadil Diggs, the defensive end out of Syracuse, who went a few picks later, I think, if I have my seventh round picks right. Last but not least, in our pick six at six.
Number six.
We had one more question for Lance Newmark, and by we, I mean Adam Peters had one more question for Lance Newmark.
Oh, whoa.
F. Adam Peters, Daily Planet.
Yeah.
can you talk about why the quarterbacks made you this shirt and why they think you should be president in your platform, if you will?
Well, I'm just busting his balls. The quarterback room is a great room. The great men in there. And, that was a nice surprise from them. It's one of the great comebacks ever. From that room.
You guys can dig in on that. Nice job, dude.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
nice for your boss to come into your press conference and be like, hey, nice job, dude, wearing a shirt with your face on it. Anthony, do you have any other ways for folks that haven't seen this that you would describe the shirt? It's a distinctive style. I just can't think of like what the correct term is. It's like almost like a fan concert shirt, where like the artist's face is on it.
Yeah.
But the face is Lance Newmark.
Yeah, I think you did a good job describing it.
All right, thanks. Thanks for your support. I felt it.
Hey, look, anytime.
I do want the bigger story there, though. We're doing like an hour with Fortier on RFK tomorrow and other topics. I might lead with that. Be like, by the way, you've been doing a lot of great journalism. Do you figure out a Lance Newmark shirt yet? Or Adam Peters' Lance Newmark shirt yet? If he says no, then I'm going to kick him out of my house because we're recording in my home studio.
How would you feel if I walked in here with your face on a shirt of mine?
I'd be like, why did my wife give you that?
Good point.
Because that's 100% where that would come from.
She's listening.
She loves a bit. I married the right woman, that's for sure. I'm a radio person who married someone that discovered upon marrying me, she loves bits. Loves them. That's the pick six here on the Team 980. When we get back, let's talk about some NBA basketball, including my least favorite NBA basketball player.